was the night before Christmas, right outside Public Works in the Mission District of San Francisco. I'm Schmitty, and this is Talkin' Schmidt. Today, we finally have our first Sody on the show. His name, Silas Baxter Neal. Silas grew up in Oregon and is pro for Habitat Skateboards. He rides for Adidas and had an amazing part in their last video, Away Days. He says winning Sody was an incredible experience that changed his career for the better, but it also raised the bar for his and everyone else's expectations.
And then it worked out and I was stoked. And then also at the same time, I was like really bummed too. Felt like I didn't like fit the mold and I had a lot to live up to at that point. You know, like I was like, fuck, like now I have to be this person that people expect me to be, this great skater now. So I have to be great. I don't feel great all the time.
Also, we're coming off our annual Sody party, so a huge congrats is in order to 2019 winner from Buenos Aires, Argentina, Señor Milton Martinez. If you have the time, go on to Insta and find Omar Hassan up on stage freestyle rapping with Tommy Wilde. Thank you guys for all supporting this journey of mine. This is episode 52 and the night before Christmas. So I just want to say Merry fucking Christmas. Happy New Year. And Mom, that's right, I did it. One each week, all year. Be safe out there, kids, and treat yourself kindly. Making sure you spend quality time letting the ones you love know you love them. And now, without further ado,
this is Silas, and you're listening to Talkin' Schmidt.
It's cool, like tonight is the night.
Here we go again.
Just give it the old college try right here.
Big dog's in.
Schmitty, what do you think, Schmitty?
96 times, Schmitty.
Thanks, Schmitty.
We on? Schmitty?
Talkin' Schmidt.
He's so fucking different.
Shit my pants, lad.
Your Rolodex is fucking deep.
Are you ready?
Come on, Smith.
All right, Oregonians, beware. In this house is Silas Baxter Neal. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
All right.
Doing good.
We're in the Misery Studios here on Missouri Street.
The Misery Street.
Trying to get out of here as soon as possible. But
it's a cracker box.
Yeah, we got a lot of shit in the place. Records, boxes, everything. Thanks for coming by.
For sure. Stoked to be here. This room right here seems like it's kind of part of like skate history.
Yeah.
Like all the boards and everything.
This is what the Nine like Club aspires to be.
Yeah, they made their studio to look like this, and this is just how you live.
Yeah.
I woke up like this.
Yeah, what, that record? Yeah, it's over there. Were you born in Eugene?
I was not born in Eugene. It's kind of a secret, but I was born in Washington.
Oh.
But there's like Oregon-Washington beef, so.
Oh, shit.
I was raised in Oregon. I lived in Washington until I was like 4. So just to kind of like briefly summarize it, my parents were like dropout hippies, and we lived off the grid with no electricity or running water in a house that had a dirt floor for the first couple of years of my life. We lived in a couple different houses in Washington, but one of them was pretty minimal. And then at 4, I have an older brother and he was like starting to be at like school age. And my parents wanted him to be, they wanted us to go to like proper schools and stuff like that. And not, I mean, we lived in like a hippie community, but the schools were pretty redneck and they didn't want to raise us around that. So we moved to Eugene at that point. Because it was, like, the closest community that my parents knew about that was, like, kind of liberal and hippie-ish.
Yeah.
You could still get, like, good education and have a community and, like, kind of have more opportunity, I guess.
So you were about 4?
Yeah, I was 4 when I moved to Eugene.
And so that's where you picked up your first skateboard with Eugene?
Yep. I think I was, like, 6 or something like that. For Christmas, me and my brother got, like, Toys R Us boards.
Toys R Us boards.
I think mine was a Volterra Ramp Champ, I think what it was called.
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing it. What was, like, do you remember your first real board?
Yeah, so, like, we, like, kneeboarded around when we were little kids, but it was just kind of more like a toy. And then when I was, like, going into middle school, so, like, 11 years old, in the summer, like, all these kids in the neighborhood were, like, starting to skate, and I was, like, seeing them. My brother was starting to get into skating a little bit, and his friends were So I got like another Toys R Us board for, and then I started, I like learned how to ollie on that thing. And then we went to this skate shop and I got like a used board, and it was like a Ray Barbie firm board, like the patch guy.
Yeah.
And then, I got a Planet Earth, was my first new board. It was like a Planet Earth board.
Damn. Okay. What was it? Lottie?
No, it was a blue board with a heart on it. It was, I think, Rick Jaramillo.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I think it was Rick Jaramillo board.
And was the ashtray there already?
Yeah, it was already there. So that thing was built in like 95 or something like that, 96. Ah. No, probably earlier than that, 93. Probably 93, 92. I think I started skating in like 95 maybe.
Okay.
So the ashtray had been there for a couple of years. And then I didn't really like know anything about tricks or nothing for a long time. And then when I was like 13, 14 is when I started like meeting other skater kids and skating parks and like learning how to do like tricks and grind curbs and stuff.
Would you go
like
up to
13, 14 probably.
Would you travel around, like go to Corvallis or different areas?
A little later on, like once we were like 16 and we had, you know, I didn't have a license for a long time, but my friends had cars and stuff, so we would go to like Salem and Corvallis and just wherever, like Roseburg had a skate park.
Yeah.
And then there was actually this is kind of crazy. There was like an old sawmill that somebody had built like a skate park inside of.
Whoa.
It was like on the second story of the sawmill. And then it was like a public skate park for a while, and then it went out of business. And like when we were like 16, we heard that it still existed. So we would like drove down to this little town called Drain, which is like the middle of fucking nowhere. And we would like, and we found it, and we like snuck into this old sawmill, and there was like the skate park was still there, and we would like go and shred it, and then did that for a while. And then this guy showed up, and he was owned the property and was bummed. Had like would ride up on a like four wheeler with like a shotgun and kick us out. And stuff.
Oh shit.
So that was short lived, but. So we were, wherever there was like skate parks or whatever, I mean, I don't know, we would drive around. We would come to Portland sometimes. Portland seemed kind of like far. Big city and far. I mean, it was 2 hours or something, but I think when I was like 16 or 17, a friend of mine moved up to Portland and I would go and stay with him, and that's when I started skating up there a little more.
Did you ever skate that? There's a spine ramp in a church or something in Myrtle Creek?
No, never been to that one.
Me and Phil went there like a long time ago, and it was Dude,
Myrtle Creek's like bumfuck.
Yeah,
it's like nothing out there.
That's the one that has the pipes now, right?
Yeah, just have the three of them.
Yeah, yeah. There was like some church with a spine in it. I have photos of it. I'll show it to you sometime.
Yeah, I don't know about in California, but in Oregon, like skate church was pretty heavy. Like, there's a lot of churches that had like skate programs where they would like have a bunch of ramps and like a, I don't know, like a hall area, and then you would have to like go and listen to a sermon.
Yeah,
and then you could skate for a couple hours. You have to listen to the sermon. If you like went outside during the sermon, then you wouldn't be allowed to come back in and skate. It was so weird. You're like, this is creepy.
Because there was like a vert ramp or something in a church too, like in Washington or up north.
Yeah, and Portland has always had a skate church. I think it's still there even.
Oh, damn.
And for a while, it was like the only skate park, indoor park. Like, there's footage of Mikey Chin skating there in old like Form 1s.
Uh-huh.
Remember that old like Adrenaline Industry section?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's like skating in the skate church. All that footage from there.
Sick. So then when did you kind of start getting like skating with better people, and did you make a sponsor me tape?
Yeah, I had like sponsor me tapes, and then I would get like rep flow from through my skate shop. They would like send my tapes out
in Eugene,
and then through that I started getting hooked up with Powell, and they just started giving me boards like through a rep, and then they brought me down to Santa Rosa a couple times. Not Santa Rosa, sorry, Santa Barbara. That's the place.
Oh, yeah, to the Powell.
Yeah,
the
so like zone, they would, this is crazy. They would make me take the train down. And Eugene to Santa Barbara is like 40 hours on a train. And I was like 16 years old. Yeah, I think I like 15, 16 is when I started kind of getting hooked up a little bit and like getting out of Eugene. And
yeah.
So I got on to Santa Barbara. I went on a trip to Texas with Powell, and that was like my first real like skate trip. And like Pete Thompson's on it. I shot photos with Pete Thompson. And it was a cool crew. It was Tony Manfrey, Caswell, Oliver Buchanan, this guy Ryan Chadwick. Remember him at all?
The name.
Trippy kid from San Jose.
Okay.
But yeah, it was kind of a cool crew. Ronnie Jones.
Oh, that was Peastone. He had a lot of Ronnie Jones footage.
Yeah.
And so then that was your first sponsor?
Yes, yeah. So I started doing like going on trips with Powell, and we went to like Arizona, we went to Texas, went to Miami. And then I like, you know, like it was working, so I was going to move. So like 19, I had saved up money and I was going to move to San Francisco. And so I moved down here, and during the process, I was like talking to Powell about it. And they're like, oh yeah, we'll help you out with the paycheck, you know, help you live. And then I moved down here like, oh yeah, we can't do anything for you. Sorry. So I was like working at this little restaurant for a couple weeks. And then worked at a coffee shop for a little while and was just like trying to make it work here. I met Brennan, who worked for Habitat at the time, and he like super awkward. He like came over to our house where I was staying. I was like sleeping in a closet, and he like put in my sponsor tape and like watched it in front of me.
Whoa.
And Brendan's like super opinionated, you know what I mean? So he's like, oh man, that shit's garbage. Oh, that's right. Oh, that's trash. And so that was super funny. Yeah, and then so I lived here for like a year and a half and then ran out of money and then moved to Denver. And then I was like getting PAL boards. I'm sorry, I was getting Habitat boards. I'd quit PAL by then. And, or maybe I hadn't quit. I think on the drive out to Colorado, I moved to Colorado because I was out of money. And my wife, now girlfriend at the time, was living out there. So I was going to go live with her.
Uh-huh.
And so I think on the drive out there, I quit PAL. And then Brennan came out to Denver a couple weeks later and we skated and filmed stuff. And that was kind of like when I got on Habitat. Like they were like worried that I wouldn't be able to still skate out there. But then he came out and we skated and Alex Olson was with him. That's when Alex Olson was trying to get on Alien, I think at the time.
I mean, Denver's got a good scene.
Yeah, it was cool. That's what I liked about it too. It was when Angel and Diggler and all those dudes were like in their prime and they were like killing it and tons of spots and cool crew, lots of filmers, all that stuff. So
yeah,
I figured it would work. And I lived there for like 7 months or something like that.
And then you guys went...
I don't know. I kind of like bounced around from there. I like home based out of Eugene for a while and then moved to Portland and then went back to SF actually for another year and then back to Portland and then...
Chicago?
Chicago. Oh, no. Santa Rosa was in there somewhere too. San Jose too. Santa Rosa.
Oh, you lived in Santa Rosa for a bit. That's right.
Like a year and a half, yeah. So that was like... Yeah, so it was Santa Rosa. It was SF to Portland and then Portland to Santa Rosa. Or Sunnyvale for 6 months, and then Santa Rosa, and then on to Chicago, and then back to Portland.
When did you go pro?
I was 22, so right after I moved back to San Francisco from Colorado.
Was it coming off of a video part or a contest, or what was it?
I turned pro before Inhabitants came out, so it was kind of like all the work up to Inhabitants, and then when the video came out, I think I was already pro.
And was it a surprise?
No.
No,
not really. I mean, kind of. It was like a surprise that they decided to do it, but then it was something we talked about, like when it was gonna happen.
And
getting the ads and like figuring it all out.
Did you have input on your graphic?
No.
So that was kind of a surprise, or no?
Yeah, the graphic was a surprise for sure. Yeah, it was awesome. And
who did it?
Joe did it all.
Oh, okay.
So I mean, just in general with Habitat, I don't really try and have too much say in like the editing or like graphics. Cause, I mean, I've always liked what Joe does. He does a great job. He's like a master at his trade. So I don't really like, I feel like even if I have an opinion, he has a vision and my opinion isn't as important as his vision.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I trust him enough to like make me look good or make a good product, you know, so.
And Brendan's so opinionated that he's going to get in there and take out all the fluff.
I don't need to say any criticism. He'll criticize it all.
It's funny because Brendan calls me and he's like, damn man, Burnett's so fucking critical, like how do we get in the mag? I'm like, dude, people are saying the same stuff about your video editing. And then once you were pro, you weren't on Adidas yet.
No, so I was riding for S,
that's right.
Yeah, and so I had like an S video part in a special and I rode for them until like 2007, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was cool too. That was really fun. That was like, dude, Rick McCrank and Bobby Worris are like two of my favorite skaters, and so I was like able to skate with them a bunch.
Sick.
Skate with Rodrigo, and met PJ, skate with Javier.
Were you on it till the end?
No, I left before the end of it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I think Rattray had gotten on right before I left, and then I left, and then a couple months, I think within a year, they were kind of done.
Right, okay. And the Three Stripes?
Yep, and that was like, I mean, everything they had put out, their shoes weren't all that sick at the time, to be honest. Like, they were doing some weird stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then so and it was like also in that era where
was like that when like Lance was on?
No, it was after that. It was the next period. But and it was also in the era where like those sports brands hadn't fully been accepted yet. You know what I mean? Like Nike was kind of getting there, but like people were skeptical at Adidas, and I thought that it'd be like short lived. So I was kind of worried about it. But it ended up being great.
Awesome. Who were some of the people when you were first getting like stoked on skating that like you would put pictures up on your wall or be stoked to see their video parts or whatever?
I think Welcome to Hell was like a huge influence. It was like the video I had gotten a couple of videos before that, but that was the video that we watched like every day. And so you know, all those guys, Jamie Thomas was awesome, but I like Sotfo a lot, and Donnie Barley I think was my favorite at the time. He just was like raw and like powerful and like awesome to watch. we're like so stoked when the Shorties video came out. Like Muska was like pretty awesome at the time. Yeah. I always knew he was a little corny or whatever, but he was so sick too, you know what I mean? Smollett and all those guys and the early foreign ones, that was all kind of the era that I came with. Reynolds was like always a favorite, you know, like still is, just like
right,
awesome skater. Rick McCrank was always really cool and he was from the Northwest, so I kind of identified with that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rick's the shit.
Yeah. And just in all those, you know, like all those contest videos were so sick back then in the day too, you know what I mean? Like it's, I feel like contests back then were so much more raw than I guess it felt like now, you know what I mean? Like it just seemed so more raw. It was cool. It's like, you know, Europe 95 video was so sick.
Yeah. Were you doing some of that Euro stuff where you would go like just get the train and go contest to contest?
No.
None of that stuff?
No.
How has that been for you adapting to like this new generation from like growing up in an era where like you said, you watched Welcome to Hell all the time. Now it's like you watch a part and you're like, where's the next one? Or like there's Instagram parts, yeah. All that stuff. Like how's that been? What do you think of all that stuff?
It's been a roller coaster, you know. I mean, over throughout the year, like when it first started seeming obvious that like the videos were dying and that it was all about like internet videos, it was like, you know, I felt pretty shitty and resisted it, and I was like, this is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm, you know, it's just, it is what it is, and you have to like see the advantages of it. It's cool to be able to like put stuff out there like every single day, I guess, or not every single day. Like when you go skate, put some stuff out from the skate park. It's kind of fun to keep constant. I don't know, whatever. It's all right.
Yeah.
I like working on projects still a lot, and I'm still, like, I don't think that I'll ever fully adapt to, like, the 6 months to film a video part or a year to film a video part idea, mentality, you know? Like, that's just, how it works these days, but that's just not where I'm at, you know what I mean? And for me to put something out that I'm really, like, stoked and proud of, that I think it needs like, 2 years or more, you know? Just because it, you know, like, throughout a year so much changes in the way you're skating and your life, and
yeah,
and I'm not also trying to like kill myself and drive my family crazy by trying to like put something out in a year, you know, like that's a lot.
Yeah.
Do you think there's like a process though that like, let's say you're filming a project, you got like, you give yourself 2 years, you're going out and you're filming like stuff that you want to hold on to, are you still dropping some stuff on the social media stuff to like be relevant, like be out there, like here's a teaser of what's coming? Or is it more like, no, I'm on a project, I'm fucking focused on this?
I think it's like depends on the day, I think. But like with Instagram, for me, I think the stuff that I put on Instagram for the most part is just like fuck around stuff at a skate park or just like fun stuff at like warm-up stuff that I wouldn't actually use for something. But then when you film a video part, you're always gonna have like the stuff that falls through the grate, you know, like, so
yeah,
you have your like A grade stuff and you shake the filter and then everything else falls through, and then that becomes your secondary video part. And so like when you're making a video part, you really have two video parts when you're doing it,
because
you have like the main stuff, and then there's always gonna be stuff that you don't, doesn't make the cut, that still should get used. It just isn't like worthy of, like, you worked hard for it, you tried hard on those tricks, and they just didn't come out the way you wanted to, or they don't fit, or whatever, you got better versions of it.
Into your grip tape commercial.
Yeah, so you should always have two parts. You know, one video part should equal two.
All right, we got to talk about
one of the best Skater of the Year parties ever.
Too Short.
Too Short in this fucker. I was backstage with you and Too Short and Felper.
That was nuts.
Talk about that whole thing. You got Skater of the Year, first of all. That's fucking, I mean, gotta be like high above when you look back at your life, even not just skateboarding. Like I would feel that Skater of the Year would probably be pretty cool to like reflect on.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I think that it took me years. It felt unreal for a long time. And it wasn't something, it was different back then. There wasn't such a formula and it wasn't so calculated or planned around. And
right,
it wasn't something that was on my radar until right in the last minute. And then I didn't really think that it was a reality. I thought I was just like kind of just hype. And then it worked out and I was stoked. And then also at the same time, I was like really bummed too, because I felt like I didn't like fit the mold, and I had a lot to live up to at that point. You know, like I was like, fuck, like now I have to be this person that people expect me to be, this great skater now. So I have to be great. I don't feel great all the time. So, yeah. So you know what I mean? Like it was like
it kind of raised your bar.
Yeah, and I don't know. It took me a little while to figure out how that would work, but it was amazing. That party was great. It was super fun.
I think it may be my favorite of all.
Yeah, it was rad. Two Shorts fucking sick.
Girls up on stage dancing. He was with being fucking
dirty as hell. Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy meeting him and like hanging out. And
yeah.
Like, and just realizing like, damn, you're an old man. You're like, he was like 40, in his 40s. Not old, but whatever. You know what I mean? But like, anybody who's like a public figure, you kind of freeze them in your favorite era of them. You know what I mean? Like actor, musician, whatever. Like when you think about them, you kind of freeze them in a time period, you know, skater, whatever.
Yeah.
And then when you meet them in person, you're like, oh wait, you're not from 1998 anymore.
Right. I can't remember, did they surprise you with it? Like, I know later, like we went down and surprised Leo and did some things like where we just show up and we're like, you're Skater of the Year, like Publishers Clearing House.
No, I think Brendan told me originally, and I think that I like didn't really believe him. And then I think I talked to Phelps about it, and he kind of like clarified. I was like, oh shit, this is real. Holy crap.
Huh. Well, and did you guys go on a Skater of the Year trip?
We did. It was to Texas.
Oh, really?
I think it snowed too, man. It was a fucking terrible trip.
Who went on that one?
I think just me, Guru, and Marius.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it just wasn't, like, I don't know. It didn't seem like such a huge deal then as it does now. It seems like so big now.
For sure.
And, like, you get your, you know, like, you're, like, king for the year, and you get your, like, crazy trip with all your homies. Like, I didn't feel like that was, like, when we went on our Skate of the Year trip, it was just, like, where's it dry? We need to shoot this article. Who do you want to skate with? It wasn't right. Like, oh, here's your celebratory trip that you get to go with all your bros to wherever you want to go. Let's go to
the Cayman.
Yeah, it wasn't like that at all. It was just, like, it was, like, all right, you need to shoot an article. You need to shoot an interview. Where can you get an interview shot?
Right.
You know what I mean? It just seemed like more work, kind
of. It's another indication of a new era, but, like, to me, I always trip out on the fact that everyone, it's like politics where people are dropping parts right before the voting. Like, it's very strategized now, which, good or bad, it's just different.
But it's kind of pointless too, right? Because it's not based upon anything besides a couple people's opinions, right? So like,
no, I mean, they have, for sure, people think that, but like being there and working there, we do put out a poll and we do have people vote. And we do see the percentages.
And you pay attention to it, and you take it.
Oh, absolutely! David Gonzalez did win the year he won. Like the Guy vote. Mariano was supposed to win, according to the peers. But it's just like, yeah, Trump's our president too. Like, you know, like what the fuck? There's a lot of people out there voting. You know, I thought Mark Succio was going to win this year because of how much Tony likes Mark.
Yeah.
But when it all came out, it was so undeniable that the people were like screaming Milton, like, and so that just is how that one worked out, you know, and Mark had an insane part that he put together. Totally. But if either of those guys had their part in January, the other guy that dropped his part now would probably be the winner.
Yeah.
Like it's strategic a little bit like that.
Yeah.
You know, because totally. I grew up with like, no, Cardiel was in the mag all year. He's our guy. He's Skater of the Year. He represents Thrasher.
Yeah, and I thought all the Busta Bail stuff always had something to do with it too. You know,
yeah.
I mean, like, you show up for the contest and you rip in the contest. Like I thought that Mark stuff at the Dime contest should matter something. You know what I mean? Like it should play into it.
Yeah,
I mean?
Like, absolutely.
Like because that's always been a little bit part of it.
Yeah. So it's a weird one, but
yeah, I mean it's hard. Whatever. And when it, I mean I don't know. I kind of like the idea that it doesn't come down to voting or to like statistics, that it's just,
I'd like, maybe it's a false idea, but I like the idea that it was just like some people's opinions and so you can't crack the formula because it just comes down to what these people like, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that formula kind of cracked a little bit, and especially with Jake passing, it's like going to be definitely a new era and interesting to see how it all unfolds each year.
Yeah. You think that if they went with Mark this year, people would be like, I see. I thought that too. Like Milton is so much more of the obvious, like Thrasher mentality, like anarchy,
like if
gnarly, just flying down shit, like pushing that level of like gnar to the next, you know, like he's just like the next gnarliest guy. And what Mark did was like Mark, like really no one skates like Mark, and he did something that was like truly unique and different and like you know, like possibly changed way people see skateboarding, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know, I guess that like
I mean straight
if they would have gone with
mark this year, it would have seemed like an obvious departure from the traditional form of the magazine, you know what I mean? Of like how Thrasher has traditionally been. And at this time with Jake passing, it would have seemed more obvious, you know what I mean? It would have been, I think it would have been criticized more sharply because...
It could have been too different for a year where everyone's looking for what the differences are going to be.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I could see that. Yeah. But I will say that from my perspective, Milton kickflipping off the car wash banks won.
Totally, yeah.
And I think story that, behind it, that, all that stuff. That cover is... with that story, the video part was icing on the cake. Once he did that cover, I think like everyone was like, ooh. Because everyone before that was like, Mark for sure.
Yeah.
But this is the thing with skateboarding nowadays is you don't know what part's about to come out tomorrow. Like, I think Mark's great, but I do know that Milton traveled with Jake and Jake. Yeah. And so Jake being alive, he would have definitely probably been gunning for Milton.
Yeah.
The thing for me is, getting back to you being Skater of the Year, is it was a different time, but there was nobody sour. There was nobody going, oh, it should have been me, because everyone just skated. Now people are actually gunning for it. And there is like, you know, like I thought everyone told me I was getting it and then this guy got it or whatever. Yeah. It's like and a you weird
feel like,
thing.
Almost where you like, you feel like you wasted your time if you don't get it. Like you're like, I put in all this effort. I like put my best video part out and I didn't get it. So it's a waste. Oh.
Right.
As opposed to just like skating and then you're just stoked on whatever you put out because you're putting out just because you need to put it out or want to put it out.
One year we had fucking both guys come to the party and they didn't know who won.
Really?
Yeah.
What year was that?
Tori and Wes.
Really?
You know, Jake used to always say skateboarding owes you nothing. But at the same time, if this is what the whole message that everybody's giving you is and you're feeding into it, then at the end of that, you're like, whoa, that was weird. And I don't know, the last thing you want is anything to be sour when it's connected to skateboarding.
Totally, totally. Especially when it's like supposed to be something so monumentous, you know what I mean? It's so important.
Yeah. What's up with Portland these days? There's a lot of migration.
State's full.
Bryce Knights, you know, he likes to say he was the first San Franciscan up there, and many followed. We got Vicky Reyes.
So we can blame him. Thanks, fucking Bryce. Dude, cool. Great thing to be proud of.
Yeah. Mickey's opening bars up there. Cairo and fucking these Milligan. Adidas hiring everybody left
Scott,
and right.
Scott, Kelly Bird's up there.
Yeah, I could. Brian when Bobier, I went to your...
Rattray.
Thing we went to the bar and I was like John Tripp, Kelly Bird, like all, I was like holy shit,
like all my friends
this
are
is
here.
The Mission 1992. Well, how do you look at that stuff? Is it suck? Is,
it's
are
cool.
All the spots
I mean, like,
getting killed and it's like,
no, none of those guys skateboard. Come on.
Oh yeah,
think about all the people you just named. Just kidding, all of you.
Yeah,
no, it's cool. There's jobs up there, right? There's jobs in skateboarding up there. There's like Nike and Adidas and those are good jobs and it's awesome that they're hiring skateboarders because skateboarders know skateboarding better than people who don't skateboard. So
sure.
It's awesome they're hiring skateboarders, and it's awesome that a lot of people who have been important to skateboarding are still able to be important to skateboarding and with a job and whatever. And that's awesome. My only gripe is that like Portland has always been like a counterculture, and I like it, the counterculture aspect of it. And now with all these people moving up there and a lot of money moving into the city, it's become a pop culture, and it's like really a popular place to be. And it's like so... A lot of people move there and they like where they're from and they like their culture. And so instead of respecting and adapting to the culture of the place they move to, they just try and create their own space.
Right. As it's good and bad. East Burnside, like last time I went there, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, there's so many big buildings.
It's like the west side now.
The east side didn't have any tall buildings. Like I remember a buddy of mine lived in this like penthouse apartment that was like the eighth floor of a building. Like, you know what I mean? And he had like the highest thing that was like the highest building in the area. And now it's like all these 30, 40-foot buildings everywhere.
Are you on the east side? Or
I'm on the west side.
West?
I'm up in the hills, yeah.
Oh, okay. By like that bird sanctuary place with the owls and stuff?
No, further south than that.
Oh, okay.
That's like the Audubon Society.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't been there. Have you been there?
Yeah, yeah. That super cool.
Pretty cool. Yeah, I haven't been there. My kids went there for a field trip, but I haven't been.
You ever go to that chimney where the birds fly?
Yeah, the swift, the swifts, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm further south. I'm like kind of, there's like that tram that goes up over.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like
by south, Water
a little
Street?
South of there. Yeah, a little south there.
I know that area. I've been up there.
Tryon Park is like a big forest. It's like an 800-acre park that's up by.
Really?
There's like horseback riding trails. And stuff.
Isn't that where that spot is that Caswell skated? It's like at a hospital. Or
yeah, kind of further, a little further south than that, even though. Okay. But yeah, that spot's gone though. That spot was sick.
Yeah, you're gonna go out to dinner, and it's a special occasion. The Farm's Gone or whatever that place was. I love that one. Where do you go? What's a good restaurant up there?
The Tusk. Probably it's called Tusk. Yeah, it's like Mediterranean food, Middle Eastern food, really vegetable heavy, super good.
Yeah,
amazing. Yeah, so probably there. There's always nice new restaurants. I don't know. I'm a parent. I don't go out to eat.
You're not doing it. Are you going to the bar at all anymore?
A little bit, but just when people are around. I live pretty domestic when I'm at home. It's pretty like.
Yeah.
Skate. If I'm out at nighttime, it's probably at a skate park.
Oh, okay. And you got Joey Pepa.
Yep. My crew is Joey Pepa, Nikhail, Ryan Casado, Tristan. Yeah, it's kind of the crew.
Oh,
Josh
cool.
Matthews sometimes. He just moved to Eugene, though, so.
Those are all good dudes.
He's not in Portland anymore.
Fuck.
Yeah, it's a cool crew. It's cool. We go skate parks. We have fun. If I need to go film, then I go with Tristan.
What's the deal? So you guys had that skate park, and you had two or three? Two, right?
Two.
The contest?
Like, yeah, we had two of them, yeah.
Okay.
So I made a skate park about 7 years ago and had it for 3 years, and I like shared the space, and then after 3 years our lease ran out and the building got bought and we got kicked out, so we moved to that new space. So it was just all of our space. The first space we shared with two other people, so the next space was all of ours, and then we were there for a year, and then we had 3 year lease, so like the last 2 years we did contests.
Right.
And that was fucking so sick.
Yeah. Grotto Lotto.
Grotto Lotto, yep.
I went to the first one, and then I didn't make it to the second one. Are they? You think they're going to do it again somewhere else, or is it done?
Yeah, I'm not going to do it again.
No.
I think that what made it really awesome was the fact that we were like in this private skate park in the middle of nowhere that didn't belong to any brands or anything. You know what I mean? And then it was just like totally private and just like the illest dudes. And so you know what I mean? Like, yeah. So I couldn't do it at someone else's skate park.
You can't do the
really.
Same thing at Adidas Park.
I couldn't do it at Adidas Park or the Nike Park or like Converse Park or any other park. You know what I mean? Because it was associated with a company, because it wouldn't have that like raw feel to it. And then you could do it at like another skate park somewhere, but the fact that it was like this private, like hidden skate park that not that many people skated, you know, also made it that much more awesome. You know, you don't have like local kids that are like champions that are like doing everything.
Right,
you know?
Hometown hero.
Totally. So like a lot of the stuff that was done at all those contests were just like, it was uncharted territory, you know, and that's why it was so exciting. It's because like that park hadn't been ripped to that level until those guys came there and ripped it to that level, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah, Austin got intense. The first one, right?
Yeah, Austin got the first one. Mark got the second one, maybe.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, sick. That was a fucking fun one, the first one.
But I think, like, the highlights, whoever won the contest, the highlights were, like, dude, Austin Canfouch last year was killing it.
Really?
Destroying it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
First year, Marius was killing it, didn't land anything, but killed it. You know, like, everyone who was there was just, like,
the
was so awesome to watch him skate.
Joe Brook texted in, and he wants to know, is it true Habitat banned you from wearing pinwheel hats?
No, but Brendan definitely talked shit on them. I think like when I first, like I think like the first week I moved to SF, I wouldn't switch heel flip the Lincoln stairs. And I had like a pinwheel hat off, and I like flew off midway through the trick, like down the stairs, and Brendan just never ever let that go.
Oh shit.
Just dogged me out forever about it. Although he wore them back in the day too, so.
Yeah. You've seen a lot in skateboarding, but is there anything that stands out? Like one or two things that's like the gnarliest thing you've seen like in person?
I hate this question.
Yeah?
I never can answer it right. I know that there are these things. I don't know. Recently, dude, like, honestly, the last trip I went with Mark, just, like, watching how he approaches skating is the gnarliest thing I've seen in skateboarding.
Really?
I mean, he's just so good.
Was that Pittsburgh?
We did, like, that cross-continental trip. Yeah, that was probably the last trip I went on with him. But
and he ground a rail from rail to rail?
Oh, no, I wasn't there for that one.
Oh, okay, I heard
but
about that.
He texted
that.
Me all about it. He did that shit first try. First try. It took me an hour, dude. He did, he, like, had somebody set his, like, hold his, like, he had held somebody's shoulder and, like, drop in, grinded it. And did it a couple times, and I was like, that's gnarlier than fucking doing it in the first place. Like, that seems so sketchy, drop in, grinded.
Yeah.
But he's so good. Like, he just, like, his approach, his, like, how confident he is. It's awesome. It's really cool. It's really cool. And it's really, it's like gnarly. It's like gnarly to see that much confidence and ability.
Yeah.
No, Mark isn't gap grinding like 15 stair handles or anything.
We might see a Swiss trade down Wallenberg.
I would.
Mark, are you gonna switch Trey for Bollenberg?
Come on, Mark.
You have to do it.
He went there with Miles and you can't claim shit.
The word's on the street, bro.
The word's on the street. What's one of the most
Dude Miles, dude, what the fuck?
That switch back here.
Dude, all three of his video parts this year were so good, dude.
I know.
How hard of a year was this year for Skater of the Year? Dude, Tiago.
Yeah.
Fucking the best skater.
Tiago was so good.
Dude, everybody who had any, like, dude, the Baker video.
Yeah.
Sammy Baca, man. Like,
yeah.
That guy should get Skater of the Year.
Baca should get inspiration of the year for sure. What do you think about, like, some situation that you were, like, the most scared?
Oh, the most scared to do something? Yeah.
You ever skate that fucking spot in Portland up on the bridge or whatever? Like that big fucking, like you're way up high.
Oh, no, no, I think, no.
That seems like it'd be scary.
I don't know. I think big handles scare the shit out of me still. Like, I just think about, like, how, like, I don't skate, like, the big steep ones, but even the big mellow ones, like, scare the shit out of me. I don't know. I'm, top fives and the most. I'm really bad at those. Like, I can't ever think of, like, the most until later on.
Okay. Well, then let's go into the top fives.
All right.
I'm just kidding.
Top five.
Do you remember like early Thrasher, like one of your first covers that you seen?
Phil Shaw had a cover at Miley, right?
Yeah.
I think that one was like
really
5-0, right? That's
one of my favorite all-time covers.
I think that was like, I didn't understand how you could get that high. Like it was
right up there actually.
Yeah, I think that one was.
Talk about, you were just telling me when you got here that you've been skating China Banks with Dennis. What's that all about?
China Banks is the worst spot, dude. It's really actually fun to hang out there because it's interesting.
Yeah.
But it's so hard. The bricks are all clacky. Yeah, I went and skated China Banks with Dennis the other day. I've been there like probably 6 times in my life, and I don't think I've ever landed a single trick there.
Really?
Even like fucking around. Well, maybe I have, but I mean, I've carved over the benches and stuff. But it's also like such an epic spot. It'd be so sick to get a trick there. That's the thing. Like, you know, Dennis liked the spot. I like those spots too, where you like the spot's so sick, and even though it's really hard to do a basic trick there, like the spot is so cool looking for whatever reason, or is so cool for whatever reason, that you just want to get a trick there. You know,
yeah.
That's how China Banks is. I would love to get a trick there. I don't know if I can, but bigger wheels, smaller wheelbase.
Yeah. What's Dennis doing? Is he like trying single tricks or doing like lines or what?
I think he filmed a line earlier. When I met up with him, he had filmed a line earlier and he was trying a single trick when I met up with him. He's still ripping that place to bits.
Oh, man. Dude. The, what is it? Chicago off the Vulcan video?
Mm-hmm.
He's got some fucking fucked up shit like up on the bench, up over the gap, onto the bank. Like,
yeah.
And like,
that is such an underrated video, too. I mean, I don't know. It was just put together so roughly or something. That it's just like, it's kind of hard to,
but there's
to memorize. But there's so much good stuff in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
The first glimpses of Louis Marnell was in that video, too.
Whew.
Yeah.
Are you guys trying to work on anything? Is there any future stuff like Habitat or Adidas or any?
Well, Habitat's doing those control room series.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to continue doing those. And they kind of change each episode, some, like, you know, we had some that had like just video parts and a montage.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were like tour stuff. The last one was like a tour video and a video part. So those will always be like an outlet for us to have stuff. Like, I had a part last year for them, so I probably won't have one for a little while with Habitat. But I want to start working on a project that's not for anybody, I guess, at this point. I just want to spend 2 years and film a video part.
Yeah, I know where you can send it.
I want to feel proud of, you know, have the time to feel proud of what I'm doing. So
sure.
I think I'm going to try and start working on like a longer video project.
You hanging out with Joe at all up there?
A little bit. We don't go as much as I like to, but it's just, it's different up there. You know, like when I'm here, totally. When I'm here, like I'm here for like 5 days and I'm like, oh yeah, every day you can go do something. You can go work, you can go skateboard, you can film, shoot photos. Like you're in the mix and it just seems like everywhere you go, there's spots. And like, you know, in Portland, it's just more like, maybe I'll go skate next week and film something. I'll go skate the park today. It's just like a total, you're living your life instead of working all the time, I guess.
I like it. Fucking, I just thought of something. Today is Skater of the Year party, and you're the first Skater of the Year I've had on the program.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
So somebody should win something somewhere. what do you gonna make it tonight to the party?
Yeah, I'm gonna go tonight.
Yeah. What are we looking for?
Oh, we're looking for the drunkest dude out there.
Yeah.
That's always the funnest one to look for.
Damn it. Have you spent any time with Fred Gall lately?
No, I haven't seen him in a long time, dude.
Really?
I'm bummed. I miss him.
Seems like he's doing pretty good, right?
He's doing great, yeah.
Yeah.
I tried to get him out to the contest this year, but I kind of had second thoughts. He was doing so well. I didn't want to, like, bring him out and put him in.
Yeah.
You know, like, in the lion's den and just be like, all right, everybody else is getting wasted.
Yeah.
You're sober. Have fun.
Well, yeah, had Drehobo there, I heard.
Yeah, yeah, it was awesome.
Damn, that's
Drehobo, Chris Sen.
Oh.
Who was there? Chris Sen, Drehobo, Chico.
Did you have Robin?
Robin Sal coming?
Oh, sick. Yeah. Fuck yes.
It was the skateboarders contest. It was for skateboarders. It was not meant for anybody but the skateboarders.
yeah. That one I went to was so rad. I remember after the edit came out too, everybody was jealous it wasn't there and shit. It was cool.
We didn't know what we were doing. I had never done anything like that, never done an event. And it worked so well the first year. And it was like so awesome. And then the second year I was like, dude, we cannot come close to the first year. This isn't like, it's going to fall on its face. But second year was just as awesome, super cool, you know, like, it was such a cool experience to be part of and to, like, do, and just to be received like that, honestly, like, dude, I saw, like, Julian was, like, smacking his tail and, like, cheering, and you're like, this isn't the dude that's known for being, like, stoked on things, like,
yeah.
this means something right now, you know, like, that was, like, it was such a, yeah, it was so rad to see, looking around, everyone just, like, cheering and yelling and hyped, and, like, it was, I mean, I would like to take credit for it, but I don't think it has as much to do with me as just, like, the people who are there and involved with it.
Yeah, know? It's
like,
everybody just coming together with the same vibe. Like, the year I won, it was, like, every motherfucker in there's not one scapegoat. There's not the one guy, like, fuck that guy. Everybody's like, yeah, from Jake Anderson to fucking Austin to whoever, like, Suchu. I mean, there's so, Plunkett, it was just, like, great vibes. We're all out at the karaoke bar at night. Like,
yeah, it was cool.
Just doing it.
And I would love to keep doing it, but it just, I mean, I couldn't do it at a Smales skate park, and I can't do another skate park. Unless unless we somehow we figured out how to own the building or something. Like, it's just too much money to build, too much money to tear down, too much stress trying to run it all the time. Like, it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Dude, I'm so fucking lucky and fortunate. Like, seriously, it's like mind blowing that I could have a private skate park.
Yeah.
It's kid dream shit. And
no, I know,
we tried to like figure out a way to keep it going, but we're like, you know what, let's just, dude, we're stoked we had it, it happened, let's just appreciate it and just be like, let's not try and like twist this and turn it into something else that
yeah
it's gonna fall flat. So
do you have any free time?
Me?
Yeah, like, depends, is there, what you call free besides time. Family and skating, is there stuff that you like? You fish, right?
Yeah, I go fish, I go hike, I go camp and mushroom hunt. And
is that how you kind of, like, decompress?
Yeah, totally. I go to the woods.
Uh-huh.
When I start to, like, shit's too much, or I just, like, have some free time, or I'm not trying to work on something, I'll go to the woods. Just,
yeah.
It depends on the season, what I do in the woods, but it's, you know, in fishing season, I go fish, in mushroom hunting season, I go mushroom hunting. When it's neither, I go hike.
What do you do with the mushrooms?
Eat them.
Really? Are they psychedelic or just...
No.
No, they're regular mushrooms.
Regular mushrooms.
Ah.
I hunt for chanterelles, lobsters, hedgehog mushrooms, oysters. These are all different kinds of mushrooms. Oyster mushrooms. And it's usually fall. Fall's like when they're like, you know, like when it starts to rain. Like the first rains of fall is when they all come out. And then until the first frost, usually you get pretty good chances. But I got like 100 pounds of chanterelles this year, so...
No way.
Amazing. It's amazing.
Wow. And they got to dry out?
No, we would just eat them. I pretty much ate them every day for like a couple months. And then I would give them away to a lot of people. Like, I didn't eat 100 pounds of chanterelles. I picked 100 pounds and I would give them people. And then it's great. Like, just that, like, you know, you have them, people love them. You stop by somebody's house, you're like, oh, here's some mushrooms.
Yeah.
And then if they ever have anything, like, I have a friend who's like, oh, I got all the smoked salmon here and he wants some smoked salmon.
Right. Do you collect anything or do you get... Are you a minimalist or do you have a...
I want to be minimalist. I'm an aspiring, but I have too much shit.
Do you have like a prized, like, do you... I got some boards on my walls and photos and stuff. Do you have that kind of stuff or no?
I have a Lance Dawes photo of Mark at the ashtray.
No way.
Which is pretty sick.
What's he doing?
Just an ollie over one of the hips.
Like an old one?
Yeah, an old one, yeah.
Wow.
But no, I don't really collect all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
I have all my old boards and my shoes and stuff like that.
You have one of every board?
Pretty much.
Sick.
But I kind of regret it, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know, just too much shit.
I just
I don't know. I started keeping them because I thought they would mean a lot to me as I got older.
Now I'm older and they don't mean that much more to me. They're just kind of the same thing. They're just boards.
Yeah. Are they just in a box?
They're in boxes. I have boxes and boxes of all the boards.
That's the thing.
Like, I've hung them. Like, my kid's room has some boards on the wall. And
yeah.
And there's, like, I know, there's probably, like, 15 of them that I'm, like, really like the graphics of. And I mean, they're all cool graphics. I love having their graphics. Not at all like that. It's just more stuff to have, and I just don't really want to have stuff.
Well, it's kind of weird if you come in and you have 400 Silas boards in Silas's house.
Yeah, totally weird. 100%. 100%. I don't know. I guess I didn't foresee it becoming what it is now, you know? Like, I think when I started keeping them, I thought I was going to have like 50 boards or something.
Yeah.
Now there's like, I don't know how many, but so many. And
fuck.
Same with shoes, too, you know? Like, and I have small feet, so it's really hard to find people the same size feet as me, so I'm just getting shoes. And so, yeah, I prefer to get rid of things, and my house is too big.
I'm working on that. I wish I had a
smaller house with less things in it.
Some of the stuff's super easy to get rid of, and then you get down to this one point where you're like, fuck, these are all kind of the same, and I don't know which ones I want to...
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess at that point, you just... Fuck, you get rid of a lot of shit, and you're just like... I held on to a lot of shit for years, and that makes it harder.
Yes, it does. I have an off-subject question.
Okay.
Are you from Michigan?
No.
Where are you from?
Here.
From your Bay Area, really?
Yeah, Redwood City. I was born
in... For some
reason,
I thought you were from Michigan for some reason.
Nah, Joe is.
I know he is, but...
Yeah.
I feel like a long time ago, my dad was like, do you know somebody named Greg Schmidt? I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, so-and-so from Michigan knows
There's him. Probably a million. I want to get back. I've only been to Detroit like twice.
You never lived anywhere else?
No, I grew up in the peninsula and then I moved to the city.
And you never lived anywhere else? Never like...
No, I'm boring.
Wow.
I found...
You just knew you wanted it and you just kept...
Well, I was born in the Bay Area. It's like, why would I go anywhere else?
I mean, that's how place. I felt about Oregon too. But then I was like, I have to figure out if there's other places I like more. And then I traveled around a bunch. I was like, nope, Portland's still the best.
Yeah.
But that's what I, like, consciously, when I was, like, traveling to all these places, living in all these different places, I was like, well...
Like, judging...
I was like, I know I like Portland. I know I want to live there. Like, that's where I know I want to live. But I'm young. I don't need to live anywhere. I don't have anything tying me to this place. So let's go live in Denver. Let's go live in Chicago. Let's go live in Sunnyvale.
And you don't mind it raining and being cold?
Oh, no, I like it. It's awesome.
Do you like skating indoors in the rain?
I don't mind it.
Yeah?
I mean...
Like, do you need to feel your board? If your feet are cold, are you still trying to skate?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. I mean, I don't need to skate the best that I can skate to have fun. You know?
Right.
Like, you know, I don't need to be at the best of my ability to, like, be having fun. I can have fun when I'm sucking, too. That's okay. I don't take it as serious. You know, I don't... Like, if I miss a kickflip, I'm like, fucking feet are frozen. Fucking going home, dude. Like, oh, my feet are frozen. Do some more kickflips. Oh, these are all mobbed. Crazy. Ha ha.
Well, I was skating at Double Rock, and it was freezing, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just cruising around trying to warm up, and my wheel hits like a pebble or something, and I shoot into the quarter pipe, and I thought I broke my shoulder.
Yeah.
It was so, like...
You've never eaten shit when it was warm out, though?
Yeah, but not like this. It was like ice. It was like
to the core.
It felt so hard. I
when it's cold, it like it hits you deep. Yeah. It hits you deep. I get it.
But
a shinner, like when it's fucking freezing cold out and you get a shinner.
Yeah.
It's like the worst thing ever. You're like, for like half an hour just rubbing it. But no, I don't know. Whatever. And also, at this time in my life, as you know, I don't feel, you know, if I skate twice a week, then I'm stoked. You know, like, I don't need to skate every single day.
Right.
To feel, you know, I would like to.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm busy and there's a lot of things going on and I keep myself.
Is your kid interested in skating?
They skate a little bit, yeah. You know, I think it's different. You know, they've grown up with a skateboard available and in their face since they were born, you know what I mean? And it's just like, it's just, it's not something that's theirs, you know. It's skateboarding is mine, you know what I mean? And so it's like, they are into it and they might find a place in a time when it becomes theirs, but right now it's just like that's what their dad, it's like a way to like hang out and skate and be with me, you know.
Sure.
But what made skateboarding awesome when you were young, you know, like what really hooked you with skateboarding is because it was yours. You could get as good as you wanted and you could take it wherever you wanted to go with it, and it was like this key to exploration and friendships, and so it was 100% yours, you know. And I don't want to like make it my kids' thing, because if they want it to be their thing, then they'll find it.
You know? Yeah, exactly. You can't push them.
Yeah, and they're not going to have the same experience as me. Like, I love skateboarding from my experience of skateboarding.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily because of the skateboard itself. It's just from that life experience of what's happened to riding a skateboard.
Mm-hmm.
He might find
his own experience with the skateboard that's equally as rewarding. But
I just got two more things. I wanted to ask you about how Jake's death affected you, and futuristically thinking about how that's going to affect skateboarding and the mag and everything.
I think Jake was a compass for skateboarding. I think that Jake kept skateboarding pointing in like a certain direction. Skateboarding was born from the streets, and a lot. Maybe not born from the streets, but it cut its teeth in the streets. You know, right? Like it has a really rough and tumble attitude, and most of that is that you are fucking eating shit all the time and breaking shit and whatever. You know, like so that was like the ethos of skateboarding, and it's rough and it's rugged and raw. And Jake embodied that, you know, and he always kept skateboarding pointing that direction, no matter how many times it started going this way or whatever. He always has opinions and views and stances always kind of like redirected skateboarding in a certain direction, you know. So without that, it'll be different for sure. Like we don't have that one person who has given themselves up completely to skateboarding,
right?
In a certain way of skateboarding and a certain lifestyle mentality. I mean, that takes a lot of bravery to do that too, you know. To commit yourself so wholly to skateboarding in that sense is, it takes a lot of bravery, you know. Like, you know, and I think people don't think about that ever, but he like lived skateboarding more than most of us do, you know. And without him, it's going to be easy to get distracted and things are going to go different directions, and we're going to lose a little bit of that like fire, you know. A little bit of that core is gone, you know, and that's just what it is. There's no one's going to replace it, no one's going to change it, no one's going to bring that back. It's gone. That was like, he was a unique part of skateboarding
for sure. Bryce and I were talking about it, and Bryce had a really interesting point that I've been thinking about a lot lately, which was like, I wish that fucker could have just stayed around and been at the Olympics to just be Jake and Jake's opinion and to soak it in and to give them whatever they needed. Jake not being around for that, it would have been really interesting to see how he would have gone through it.
Heard his commentary, heard his opinions, you know.
Right.
I think the last time, not the last time, one of the last few times I'd seen him, it was Tampa Pro. First of all, why the fuck is Jake in Tampa Pro?
Because his band's playing.
Whatever. Like, he showed up and he was like, he's talking shit. And like, there's practices going on. He just like walks out through practice, just like through the whole thing, walks over, grabs the Transworld banners and just tears them off the fucking wall.
Yeah.
And there's just like, and everyone's like skating, trying drinks. They're like, what the hell is he doing? And like drags them out and leaves them in the course and just walks off. Why you gotta pick up Transworld? They're the underdogs. Leave them alone. But at the same time, like, fuck yeah, for being who you are, you know what I mean? Like, for standing up for yourself. And like, you don't, there's no one else like that.
Yeah, it's fucked.
And for me, like, me personally, what Jake has personally did, I mean, Jake did a shitload for me. I mean, like, the fact that he showed interest in me and helped me achieve to get Skate of the Year or whatever, like, that, I mean, I owe everything to that, you know? Like, that's a huge piece of cement that'll keep me in skateboarding, you know? And that's what I want to do, you know? I want to be here. I want to be part of it. And that's something that kept me part of it. Whether or not I want to or not, you know what I mean? Like, whether or not what my brain's telling me at the time, or whether I feel like I deserve to be here or I should be here or whatever, like, he made a place for me. And that's like, I, you know, there's no one else that could have done that in that way. I owe a shitload to that. So,
yeah.
Thank you, Jake.
Every day I'm at the mag right next to his office and just going like, damn. Absorbing it, trying to figure it all out.
Yeah, he was a beautiful human, and he was also a terrible human.
Yeah.
And we have to understand that, like, with beauty comes terror, you know, and you have to have both of them. And he had us... Dude, I mean, he called me up on fucking Thanksgiving morning one morning, and, like, I have the voicemail saved, and he, like, told me he loved me, and, like, you know what I mean? Like, that was such a huge thing to me, you know? Like, I mean, I've never been on trips with Jake, you know what I mean? Like, I've hung out with him, I've seen him, I've spent a lot of time with him, we've talked, we've had like heart to hearts and stuff like that, but like, we haven't traveled in the sense where like, I would have called him my, like, I wouldn't have thought of him being my friend or I'm being his friend, or you know what I mean? But he, you know, called me up one morning, like 6 o'clock in the morning on Thanksgiving morning, he was like, yo, I love you, and that fucking meant a huge
amount to me, you
know? Like, it feels great to be accepted, especially by the ones that have strong opinions, you know?
Totally, yeah. No, I understand that completely.
He'll be missed, man. You know.
Yep, definitely. I was talking to Dennis about it, and I didn't realize, like, Dennis, you know, the stuff Dennis went through with him and Monk, and then both those guys not being around, it's just like, whoa, that was heavy. I was like, damn.
100% is heavy. Dennis has had a complicated relationship with Jake forever, and then that whole scenario with all those people, Monk, P-Stone, and Phelps, you know, and, like,
that's just that's heavy. And Dennis has been intimately involved in all those three of their lives, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The last of the Rocking Vipers.
Dennis!
Shout out.
Who are some guys you think, like, are at this time next year, who are we going to be talking about? Who are, like, the content? Who are going to be the guys dropping the parts? Who are people going to be oohing on over? I always thought Vanderlinden, if you put it all together, was one guy that should be a...
Yeah, he's so, so good, dude. He just needs to, like... focus a little bit. He needs to make Ritalin or something. No, I think he just, like, he's been getting hurt a lot. He just needs to, like, slow down a little bit and, like, I don't know. He's so good. I don't know, man. There's so many good dudes out there.
Yeah, right.
I had so much fun with all the Spitfire guys this summer, like, watching Kevin Bradley skate. That guy's fucking awesome. Ooh. He also needs to put it together, but...
Definitely.
He's tight. Bradley. Mason Silva, dude. I think Mason Silva could do something, dude. Like, he is so good and powerful. And he's, like, cool, dude. Got a good head on his shoulder.
Right.
I think he could do something.
Yeah, absolutely. That part he put out, what was it, last year or at the beginning of this year? Yeah, that was super sick. All right, well, you got a fucking jam we can take it out of here with? Some type of music, some song?
I've been listening to that Tom Waits song, Long Way Home.
All right. Fuck, dude. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Shmee.
Coming over to my place, meeting me.
Sick. I feel like a part of history right now.
Love it. See you tonight at the Sody Party.
See you there, bros.
Long Way Home.
Well, I stumbled in the darkness. I'm lost and alone. I said I'd go before us and show the way back home. There's a light up ahead. I can't hold on very long. Forgive me, pretty baby, but I always take the long way home. Money's just something you throw off the back of a train. Got a head full of lightning, hat full of rain. And I know that I've said I'll never do it again. I love you, pretty baby, but I always take the long. Your back, keep your eyes shut tight. Your love's the only thing I've ever known. One thing for sure, pretty baby, I always take the long way. Finally be alone. Come with me.